John 15, that's on page 1083.
Right, good morning. Today's Bible reading is taken from the Gospel of John, chapter 15, and I'll be reading from 1 to 17. The vine and the branches. I am the true vine, and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit, while every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes so that it will be more fruitful. You are already clean because of the word I have spoken to you. Remain in me, as I also remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. I am the vine, and you are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. If you do not remain in me, you are like a branch that is thrown away and withers. Such branches are picked up, thrown into the fire, and burned. If you remain in me, and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish, and it will be done for you. This is to my Father's glory, that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples. As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Now remain in my love. If you keep my commands, you will remain in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commands and remain in his love. I have told you this so that your joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. My command is that love each other as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, to lay down one's life for one's friends. You are my friends if you do what I command. I no longer call you servants because a servant does not know his master's business. Instead, I have called you friends. For everything that I have learned from my Father, I have made known to you. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you so that you might go and bear fruit, fruit that will last, and so that whatever you ask in my name, the Father will give to you. This is my command, love each other.
Wincy, thank you so much. Please keep John's gospel open in front of you, John chapter 15. Let me add my good morning. My name's Nathan. I'm one of the other pastors here. We're going to be returning this morning to our verse for the year. The danger with our verse for the year is that it hangs there and it becomes invisible to most of us. We probably don't even notice it's still there. That's the danger of it, isn't it? But today we're going to have a little bit of a moment to MOT ourselves, to check ourselves as we get nearly 9 months into the year of just how are we doing with this as a kind of a shaping verse for our year. So let me lead us in a prayer. Keep John's gospel open in front of you, and then we'll think about our verse for the year together. Our Father in heaven, as we take a few moments this morning to return to this verse that we picked for 2023. Please would you give us hearts that are open to your searching, hearts that are responsive to your convicting, and hearts that receive your encouragements today. Please would you grant to us your spirit of wisdom and revelation that we today might know you better and abide or remain more in our Lord Jesus Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen. Well, unbelievably, we are nearly 9 months into 2023. Can you believe it's nearly September? No, few of us are like, oh, September, it's coming up. And as you look back on the last 8 months or so, 9 months, would you describe 2023 as a fruitful year? I guess we probably pick many words to describe the year we've had. Some of us might say it's been a hard year. I was with a friend this week who said this year's been the hardest year of his life. Maybe some of you are sitting here this morning and you would say the same thing. It's been a really difficult year. For some of us, it's been just a normal year, just like any other year. But would you say, as you look back on these last 8 or so months, that it's been a fruitful year? I recently had coffee with a friend who has taken a couple of months off of his normal work. And during this couple of months off, he'd set himself an ambition to read through the whole Bible in 2 months. Now, that is an ambition, isn't it? It's 20 chapters a day. And he, admittedly, he wasn't doing his normal job, so he had a little bit of extra time on his hands. But he plowed his way through the Bible in 2 months and taking in the whole sweep of this story that quickly. And I met him just as he was coming to the end of this 2 months. And I said to him, you know, as you read the Bible, as you plowed through it that fast, did anything come at you fresh? Was there anything that came to you new as you read through the Bible? And do you know what he said? And this is why I'm sharing the story. Do you know what he said to me? He said what hit him afresh as he read through the Bible this time was the theme of fruitfulness. The number of times in the Bible that God reveals his plans for humanity, that he wants us to be fruitful. Do you know what God's very first words to humanity are? Do you know that? Genesis chapter 1. What's the very first thing he says to humans he's created? Be fruitful. You could have guessed that, can you really, given the sermon? Come on, let's have it with a little bit more enthusiasm. What's his first words? Be fruitful. That's what his command is to creation, to Adam and Eve, who he's just created and made to live in his world. He says, be fruitful. And then that is a thread, a theme that runs through the Bible. As Adam refuses, as it were, to bear the fruit of obedience, God calls to himself a nation. He joins them to himself, the nation of Israel, and he calls them to be fruitful, to bear the fruit of those in relationship with him. And yet in Isaiah, by the time you get there, as he describes this people as his vineyard, it says that he goes looking for fruit, but he finds none. Fruitfulness is a theme that runs through the Bible. God wants us, he wants you to be fruitful. And bearing fruit is really a promise of Jesus, isn't it? In the middle of our verse for the year. I mean, have a look at those words. It is a promise of Jesus, isn't it? You will bear much fruit. It's not a command. He's saying this is what happens to his disciples. You will bear much fruit. And if you can cast your mind back to January, which I can't, so I don't know if you can as well, but if you can cast your mind back to January, as we set out on this year, as we picked this as our verse for the year, I certainly had an ambition for the year to say, Lord, make me fruitful. Please would this be a description of me. I want to be someone who bears much fruit. And maybe you had the same ambition at the start of the year. Now, as we think about this idea of being fruitful, it is worth qualifying it, okay? What do we mean by fruitful? Because fruitful is not the same as the way the world would speak about things like success. So when I say, have you had a fruitful year, I'm not asking you if you've had a successful year. That might be the question the world asks you. Neither does the Bible, when it speaks about fruitfulness, equate to output. You know, we are a productivity-driven society, aren't we? Output, output, output. And when Jesus says, have you been fruitful, he is not asking you, have you produced lots of things this year? Have you done lots of things? Have you had a full timetable? Have you succeeded in your work? He's not asking you that. As we think about fruitfulness, it's not a code word for have you been busy this year? It's really important that we hear that. Jesus isn't asking you if you've had a busy year. Because actually, as we'll discover in a minute, you can be busy but not fruitful. Fruitfulness is not those things. The second thing that's worth saying as well is that when Jesus talks about being fruitful, it's something you can be in a whole variety of settings and a whole variety of situations. So it's not one particular setting and situation which you be fruitful. Actually, you can be fruitful in a variety of settings. You can be fruitful when you're happy, and you can be fruitful when you're sad. You can be fruitful when life is easy, and you can be fruitful when life is hard. And you can be fruitful in a variety of settings. So being fruitful, as Jesus talks about it, isn't just something that we do when we get together on Sunday. Actually, did you know that you can be fruitful when you're giving a patient their medication in a hospital ward? Did you know that you can be fruitful if you're the one lying on the bed in the hospital? Did you know that you can be fruitful watching a movie? Did you know that? You can be fruitful. You can be fruitful when you're playing a game of sport or going for a run or playing, you know, rugby on a pitch somewhere. You can be fruitful in those moments. But equally, you can be unfruitful in doing any of those things. And so what I want us to do this morning as we think about this question, has this been a fruitful year so far for you? I want us to return to our last year and think through, what is it? What is it that Jesus means? And to help us think about that, we're going to return and engage with our verse for the year. And I'm going to ask two questions this morning, which I hope that you'll engage with and you'll think through, and then we can apply this into our lives. So here's the two questions. The first one is, so when Jesus says you will bear much fruit, what does he mean? If he's not talking about productivity and output and busyness, what does he mean when he says you will bear much fruit? What's he talking about? And the second question I want to ask is, well, where does that fruitfulness come from? So if you can be fruitful in a hospital ward, on a football pitch, or going for a run, or watching a movie, where does that come from? How can we continue to be fruitful this year? So you with those questions? You alive this morning? Half of the balcony did go off on the seaside holiday, because we talked about that last week. I said a seaside trip would do you good, and half of the balcony has gone to the seaside. It's a bit emptier up there this morning. So here's our two questions. First of all, what is the fruit that Jesus talks about? What does he talk about? Fruit, the fruit of a tree, think of that for a moment. It's the visible part of a tree, isn't it? It's the visible sign. It's what grows on the outside of a tree that lets you know that there's real life on the inside. It lets you know what kind of tree it is. If you walk up to an apple tree and there's a bundle of apples on it, what does it tell you about the tree? What type of tree is it? Oh, you guys are good. I was about to say, oranges grow on trees, don't they? That's true. If you go up to an orange tree, what type of tree is it? It's an orange tree. The fruit gives away what it is, what type of tree it is. Fruit is the visible sign that there is life in that tree and the type of tree that it is. And likewise, when Jesus says to us that we will bear much fruit, he's talking about the visible evidence that we are connected to him by faith. The outward sign, the outward evidence that we are connected to him by faith. One writer describes fruit as every demonstration. A demonstration is something you see, isn't it? Every demonstration of a vitality of faith. Or as Jesus puts it, if you've got your Bible there, look at verse 8. He says, this is to my Father's glory that you bear much fruit. What does it say there? Showing yourselves to be my disciples. That's what fruit is. The fruit is the things in our life, on our life, that show us to be disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now in the context, Jesus gives us three particular bits of fruit. Okay, so fruit, I hope you can begin to see, actually covers a whole range of things. But this morning, I just want to kind of throw three out there that Jesus talks about in the context. Here's the first one. Fruit number one is living out Jesus' commands. Just look with me at verse 7. Jesus says, if you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. Now, we're going to focus on the first part of that verse. If you remain in me, and my words remain in you. The words of Jesus are the teachings of Jesus. The teaching that calls us to trust him. The teaching that tells us how to live. Jesus is talking about his words, his teachings, becoming our inner voice. I had the privilege this week of taking some of my children over to Legoland. If you've never heard of it, don't worry about it. If you have, you'll pity me. So here is Legoland, and it is this great adventure where you stand outside in the roasting sun in queues for hours and hours to go on a ride that lasts 20 seconds. But as you go on these rides, there are some words before you get going, particularly on some of the roller coasters. A voice comes over the tannoy system. Please keep your arms and your legs inside the ride. Now, they don't spell it out, but there's some small print there, because otherwise you'll lose your arm or you'll lose your leg. And believe me, those words remained in you for the ride. Tuck your legs in, because you don't want to lose anything, do you? Those words remain in you. They become your inner voice as you're hurtling around this roller coaster up and down. Those words remain in you. And for the follower of the Lord Jesus, one of the outward fruits, signs, demonstrations that we belong to him is that Jesus' words become your inner voice. Jesus' words become the thing that shape the way you live. So you look at verse 10, Jesus says there, if you keep my commands, you will remain in my love. A fruitful life is a life that is growing and multiplying and increasing in our obedience to the Lord Jesus. The fruit, perhaps, of holding your tongue in an argument. Not physically, that would look quite funny, but you know what I mean. Refusing to bite back where before you might have done. It's the fruit of refraining from lying to cover up a mistake you've made because you don't want to look silly. It's the fruit of honoring your parents, even when that feels quite hard to do. It's the fruit as a parent of not exasperating or provoking your children to something you know that's going to wind them up. It's that I'm going to hang back in this situation. That's the fruit that Jesus is talking about. It's the fruit of not worrying. We all worry, don't we? But as we listen to Jesus' commands, he tells us not to worry, and there's a fruit that can grow in our lives of worrying less. There's the fruit of Jesus' call to prayer. You see, these fruits can be seen not just when we come to church, but in a variety of settings. You can be fruitful. Do you now understand how you can be fruitful in a hospital ward? How you can be fruitful on a sports pitch? How you can be fruitful when you're watching a movie? Because fruitfulness, according to Jesus, is obedience to his commands. Fruit can be seen in the home, the office, the hospital, the classroom. And so as we come to our verse for the year, as we sit nearly 9 months in, would you say that you see that fruit growing in your life? Do you see the fruit of obedience growing in you? Here's the second fruit that Jesus talks about. It's the fruit of loving others like Jesus has loved us. The fruit of loving people around you in a sacrificial way. See, look at verse 12. Jesus says this, my command is this, love each other as I have loved you. And what is that love? Look at verse 13, if you've got a Bible in front of you. Greater love has no one than this, to lay down one's life for one's friend. That is cross-shaped love. The love that the Lord Jesus has demonstrated for us. The love of willingly laying down his life, laying aside his desires, his ambitions, in order to save us. Sacrificial love. And so what does that love look like when it grows in us? Well, it looks like putting the needs of others before ourselves. It looks like giving up that time that you've planned for yourself. You know, as you look into the week ahead, some of us will have a plan. And that involves using time the way we want to use it. But sacrificial love says, well, if a need comes along or someone comes along and it intrudes on that little bit of time that you preserved for you, then actually sacrificial love says, do you know what? I'm going to give that to you instead. It's okay. I wanted to do this, but I'm going to do that for you. Sacrificial love is the love that keeps extending kindness to someone even when it's not reciprocal, even when that kindness isn't coming back, even when it's hard. It's the kind of love that listens to someone for hours on the phone because they're struggling. And you're sitting there listening, thinking, well, I really could be doing this or should be doing this. But it's the kind of love that sits and it listens and it cares. It's the kind of love that shares your home with others who need friendship, who need food, who need a family. It's the kind of love, Jesus-type love, that grows in those who follow him. Is that kind of love growing in your life? Here's the third fruit that Jesus talks about. It's the fruit of leading others to Jesus. Look at verse 16. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you so that you might go and bear fruit, fruit that will last. Now, we could do some work through the passage. I'm just going to bring you there where we got to at the beginning of the year. That is the fruit of leading other people to the Lord Jesus Christ. It is the fruit of wanting others to know Jesus, to find life in Jesus. And the fruit of that is not just people actually coming to the Lord Jesus, but it's that desire for others to want to know. Do you see that growing in you? You want other people to hear about Jesus? You want other people to be part of that? And remember that these three fruit that Jesus is talking about can grow in many settings. They can grow anywhere. They can be lived out anywhere we are. Now, as we look back at these last months, as you look at those fruit, I think a tendency that we have, if I'm honest, when we gather in church is to feel quite negative. Am I feeling like that? Are some of you feeling negative right now, thinking, oh dear, it's not really been a fruitful year, has it? And we're all a bit glum and a bit grumpy. But I want to encourage you this morning. And I want to encourage you because as I look back on the last 8 months of being church together, I want to thank God that this is the fruit that we see growing in this church. And that is not a reason to pat ourselves on the back, but that is an evidence that we are disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ. These things are growing in our lives. There is much fruit to look at and thank God for. There are many conversations I've had and times I've spent with people, and I'm sure you're the same, where you've seen people's progress in obedience to the Lord Jesus Christ. There are times when you have been loved or you have loved in a Jesus-type way. Yes, okay, we're not perfect. We're never going to be perfect this side of heaven, but this is about growth. This is about progress. And I want to thank God that that is the fruit that we see in this church, the fruit that shows us to be disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ. But of course, there is more to pray about, isn't there? Jesus says, you will bear, what does he say? Much fruit. Not a little bit of fruit, kind of a small amount of fruit. He says, you'll bear much fruit. And don't you want to be there? Don't you want to bear much fruit? And so just as we thank God for all the fruit that is growing in our church family, we also want to be prayerful this morning and say, Lord Jesus, please grow that fruit in us even more. Make us an abundantly fruitful church, growing that obedience to Jesus, growing that loving of others, growing in us that desire and that ability to lead others to the Lord Jesus Christ. So that's the first question. What is fruitfulness? If we can be fruitful in our workplaces, watching a movie, what is the fruit Jesus is talking about? Here it is. But here's the key question I want us to ask. If we want to grow that kind of fruit, if we are growing that kind of fruit, where does it come from? How do we grow that fruit? And here's the key. Is it to go home and try harder? You know, we could conclude the sermon there, couldn't we? Or we could wrap it up. I know some of you are like, yes, please. No, only kidding. We could conclude it there. But what sort of a sermon would that be? Hey, come on, church. Let's grow a little bit more fruit. Let's have coffee and go home. Well, we'd all feel a little bit flat about that, wouldn't we? Because we know how hard it is to grow that fruit in our lives. Now, where does fruitfulness come from? Where will our lives be transformed into obedient lives? Where will our lives grow in that love? It comes from a healthy relationship with Jesus. That's where fruitfulness flows from. There's loads of talk, isn't there, in our society about living a healthy lifestyle. You know, you've got to exercise well, get those 10,000 steps in every day. You've got to eat the right fruit and vegetables. You've got to sleep well. You know, if you do these things, if you adopt these things into your life, you'll be healthy and you'll have a healthy life, and they're good things. But the same is true for us spiritually. To be fruitful, we need to have a healthy relationship with Jesus. He captured in the words of Jesus in our verse for the year, when he says, remain in me, and I in you. He's talking there about the healthy relationship of being joined to him by faith. It's about your connection to Jesus. Following from this vitality of relationship, connection with Jesus, fruit will come. Remain in me, Jesus says, and I in you, and you will. It's a promise. You will bear much fruit. But where does it flow from? As you've got your roots in Jesus, as you're drinking from Jesus, as you're absorbing yourself in him, fruit will flow. Jesus underlines this with our verse for the year, doesn't he? Because he says that apart from me, you can do nothing. Apart from him, you can bear no fruit. Do you remember that quote earlier from the writer? I said that fruit demonstrates a vitality of faith. Fruit on the outside demonstrates an inner life that is connected to the Lord Jesus Christ by faith. And why is that the source of fruitfulness? Why will you only bear fruit if you remain in Jesus, if you have a healthy relationship with him? Well, look again at verse 5. I am the vine, Jesus says. Jesus is the vine. He is the source of life for every branch that's connected to him. I'm not a gardening person, but I am a gardener enough to know that branches don't live if you snap them off. Their life, their source of whatever it is that flows into them comes from being attached to the trunk. And so it is with the Lord Jesus. The life of the vine flows into and makes fruitful the branches that are connected to him. See, none of us are naturally fruity. If I could make that phrase. We're not naturally fruity. We are fruitless people. But Jesus came to bring us life. See, by nature, we have cut ourselves off from God, the source of life. And yet Jesus came that we might be joined to him, that we might have life, eternal life. Through faith in Jesus and his life-giving love, we become branches that are attached to Jesus, restored to God, and part of his people. And so the bottom line is this: if there is no Jesus, there is no connection to Jesus, no faith in Jesus, then there will be no fruit. Jesus emphasizes that in verse 6. If you do not remain in me, you are like a branch that is thrown away and withers. Such branches are picked up, thrown into the fire, and burnt. And Jesus is the source of fruitfulness because he is the one who brings us life. And if you're not joined to him, then you don't have that life. And what kind of life is it that Jesus flows into us? It's a fruitful life. See, think about the life of Jesus. Jesus is the truly fruitful one. Look at chapter 15, verse 1. He adds one word into the verse for our verse for the year. What is that word? Have a look. Chapter 15, verse 1. What word does he add in? I am the true vine. Now, why does he declare himself to be the true vine? Well, there's lots of answers to that question that we could spend a long time thinking about. But the bottom line of it is this. He is the true vine because he's the truly fruitful one. He bears the fruit of obedience and the fruit of love and the fruit of leading others to salvation like nobody else ever has. Where Adam failed to produce the fruit of obedience because he didn't listen to the command of God in the garden, Jesus produces the fruit of obedience to his Father all the way to the cross. Where we fail in our fruitfulness, Jesus succeeds. Where the nation of Israel was meant to produce its fruit, Jesus succeeds. Jesus is the fruitful one. And when we are joined to him, his fruitful life flows through us and in us and produces fruit. And when he says, I remain in you, he's talking to us about the gift of his Holy Spirit who lives in us. No Jesus, no life. And as the life of Jesus flows in us, it will make us fruitful. So you see, the key to fruitfulness, friends, is not try harder. This is not a try harder sermon. If you leave here and think, oh, I've got to go home and be more fruitful, I've got to try harder, then you've not listened. Fruitfulness comes from having a healthy relationship with Jesus. And if you want to go home and try harder at anything, it's about having a healthy relationship with Jesus. You know, think of a child for a moment. We've got lots of children in our room with us this morning, which is great. But think of a child. You know, with my children, I don't think I've ever sat them down and said, would you just grow a bit bigger? Or I've never laid them on a table and tried to stretch them out because I'm not satisfied with how much they've grown. You don't do that with children, do you? What do? You keep them healthy. That's what you do. You concern for the health of a child. You feed them and you tell them to get out of the house sometimes and do some exercise. And you tell them that sleep is okay, but not too much sleep, like 40 hours of sleep or whatever it is. You give them the right things. You try to keep them healthy. Because as they're healthy, you expect growth to happen. Is that right? Same is true for us as followers of the Lord Jesus Christ. You don't shout at yourself. You know, you don't wake up in the morning and look in the mirror and go, right, it's time to be more fruitful today. And you slap yourself and it's fruity day. You're not going to produce fruit by motivating yourself into producing fruit. You produce fruit by making your relationship with Jesus healthy. Because as you stay healthy, growth happens. That's what Jesus says, isn't it? If you remain in me and I in you, if you keep that connection live, if you keep that fresh, you will produce much fruit. It's an overflow of having a healthy relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. So where should our focus be? On maintaining a healthy relationship with Jesus. And so I want to ask this morning, us as a church family, as we kind of just come into land this morning, are you attending to your relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ? Are you daily attending to that relationship? Are his words remaining in you? See, don't sit there and say, well, you know, I'm not producing much fruit. If you're not letting Jesus' words remain in you. His voice will never be your inner voice if you're not taking in his words. Are you praying in his name? Are you being with his people? Because these are all ways. You know, why do we do this on a Sunday morning? Because it helps us to foster a healthy relationship with Jesus. We should leave here on a Sunday wanting a little bit more of Jesus, trusting Jesus a little bit more. It should be nurturing. This is about staying healthy. This is like coming around the family meal table to get your food. It's coming around the table to get our exercise. This is what keeps us healthy, is gathering together to hear his word, to sing to him, to pray in his name. Fruitfulness comes from a healthy relationship with the Lord Jesus. And so as we look back on the last 8 months or so of 2023, where are you at this morning? Some of us may be sitting here and we may be thinking, well, I'm struggling to see these fruits in my life. Just these three, and there's loads more. I'm struggling. Now, there may be a couple of reasons that you feel like that this morning. The first one might be that like many of us, we're just not very good at self-analyzing. And it may be that fruit is actually growing in abundance in you. You're just not very good at seeing it. And if you are struggling this morning, why don't you get a trusted friend around you and just get them to talk about those fruits? You know, are they in my life? Do you see them in my life? Pick a trusted friend to have that conversation. Some of us may be struggling to see the fruit because it's just not there. And if it's just not there, where do you look? I would urge you to look at your relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. Have you stopped trusting him? Have you stopped listening to him? Have you stopped praying to him in some way? And I want to urge you this morning, as we get to this point in the year, to just keep attending to, keep nurturing your relationship with Jesus. And if you want help with that, then please do ask. Ask someone near you. Come and ask one of the pastoral staff. That's what we love to do. We're here because we want to help nurture people in their connection to the Lord Jesus, help you remain in him. And if you want some help with that, please ask. Book a time to come and see one of us. We'd love to help you. And if you are fruitful this morning, praise God. That's what we want, isn't it? That's what we expect in people who are spending time with Jesus. But let's pray, shall we, for more fruit. We want to see much fruit. And where's that going to come from? Keep attending to your relationship with Jesus. And this morning, if you're here and you wouldn't call yourself as someone connected to the Lord Jesus, as we finish up, can I simply say to you this morning, join yourself to Jesus. Don't be like one of the branches that he talks about that is cut off from him and is picked up and thrown into the fire. Join yourself to Jesus. Daily attend to a relationship with Jesus, the one who brings us life, the one who joins us into the vine to himself, that we might have eternal life. Join yourself to the one who laid down his life for his friends. Should we pray some of that in together? I'm going to give you a moment's quiet, maybe just to reflect on something that maybe the Holy Spirit has spoken into your life this morning. And then we're going to sing again. Let's take a moment's quiet. Our Father in heaven, we want to thank you for these words of Jesus. We want to be those who bear fruit. We want to be those this morning whose lives show that we are disciples of Jesus. We want to be those who are growing in our obedience to Jesus, who in increasing ways love one another like Jesus, and who are leading others to Jesus. Please help us to bear much fruit. Help us to remain in him as his Spirit remains in us. Please help us to nurture a healthy relationship with Jesus. Please help us to make time for him like we make time for others. Please help us to listen to him, to love him, to serve him. Please, Lord, make us a fruitful church. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Let's stand and sing about